All right, and welcome to this week's Jaded Gamercast. I would say pour something flammable, but with Lang not being here and me having to actually be the host instead of the troll, it is kind of an awkward position. Lang, as we all know, is in the desert, dying of heat stroke because it's like fucking 45 degrees and, you know, fuck yourself for wanting to go to a desert, Lang. So with me today is Terry, as usual, because, you know, hey, when Lang's away, she's the most accessible guest host.
Well, I mean, I think the other thing is you and Lang are very much like an old married couple, and when you have to replace your bickering wife, you find your bickering wife to replace him with.
Yeah, you know, I can't even say you're wrong. But also with us today is a longtime listener, as well as Out of the Basement, It Came from Out of the Basement 2013 player, Mr. Steve Hall.
Thank you, Nathan.
Not to be confused with Steve Holt, which is what he's put his Facebook name as.
Steve Holt.
If you are in the Jada Gamercast group on Facebook. And also the jerk that knocked the table like 30 seconds ago and, you know, made the mic jump and do all that fun stuff. So, if you're listening on your headphones, you're like, what the fuck was that? That was Mr. Steve Hall.
I broke everything. I'm sorry.
All right, yeah, so like I said, I am absolutely not used to being this part. I'm usually just the guy that, like, trolls Lang. So why don't we start off with This Week in Hobby. As I just said, Steve, you are playing in It Came From Out of the Basement 2013. So are you, Terry. We're going to talk about a little bit something in particular for our main topic later on. But just give me your opinions. How are you liking it so far?
It's been interesting so far. I'm seeing a lot of lists that I don't really see for the most part in this tournament.
Tyranids? Is there a Tyranid player?
There's like three.
Whoa, that's like three more than they usually. That's like two more than Adepticon 2012 had. Like, that's crazy.
There might even be four. And there's four monoliths here. No, five. Five monoliths.
Oh my gosh.
Someone still takes armor value 14?
I don't know.
Terry, what are you thinking about the tournament?
Dude, I am impressed. There was one point where I think there was a row of like seven or eight tables that each had at least one Tau player on them. And being like Tau OG, I still have like, I was playing my limited edition army box ethereal out there to show like I did my time instead of those bandwagon jumpers out there.
You definitely have the baggage, but I was gonna say, like, you have literally been playing Tau for fucking ever, because you do have the old ass, this army exists for the first time ever, limited edition, please buy the $300 army box set, the bunker model of Chaos, the Fire Warrior, the star Fire Warrior of the game.
Two of him, actually.
Of the game, Fire Warrior, not to be confused with the band Fire Warrior, which Lang did play bass for.
I think you may have gone full on Tau hipster.
Tau hipster.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing she didn't do was push her glasses up as she was saying it.
You know what? Fuck that shit. I'm just glad they're good now. They're so good, everyone else is playing them, but nobody is playing them like me. I still put down my army and everyone's like, that is a lot of Fire Warriors. I'm like, bitch, I've been playing this list for like 8 years with 72 Fire Warriors at least.
I was also going to say that there are quite a few successful Tau players, so they're not playing it like you. They are winning their game.
Shut up.
You also played the 70 Fire Warrior list through the editions where people laughed at you for taking it.
Oh my god, I had Vespids in that list too.
Yeah, I was going to say, the list that you are taking, just to date you and I, the list that you are taking right now is almost identical to a list to the list that you took to Conflict Vancouver 2005.
Okay.
72 yes. Fire Warriors. Back then, instead of, there were no Riptides, they didn't exist, so I mean, you know, instead of taking 18 stealth suits, you have 12 stealth suits and a Riptide. But otherwise, your list is basically identical to one that you took eight years ago.
Now that I think about it, yeah, I'm like, four broadsides, check. Mm-hmm. 72 Fire Warriors, check. Yeah, I didn't have two Ethereals in that list, though.
Well, that's because the Ethereals were 0 to 1, and
yeah.
then the Crisis Suit... They weren't 0 to 1, but Crisis Suit Commanders were 1 plus, and you're like,
not
ah,
in that edition. That was not Tau Empires yet.
No, it wasn't, because, again, let's just date ourselves as old fucks.
Oh, my God.
So, for this week in Hobby, obviously, they've been playing at the tournament. I think last-minute painting goes hand-in-hand with that. Terry
Woo!
Was up painting till 1 in the morning. Steve, did you finish your shit, or were you painting?
No, I got it done, but I've been painting pretty much solid for the last month and a half, every free moment I've had.
Yeah,
my trucks were the last thing I had to do, and it was just kind of, I wanted to get them so they look good from 4 or 5 feet away. Skin done. Metal.
Done.
The metal is metal.
And
I'm
knowing
okay
your standard for armies, that's a big deal for you, man.
I've actually been using weathering powder a lot to actually kind of shortcut that.
Yeah.
Like, weathering powder goes on so fast, and everyone is just like, what sorcery is this? You must have spent hours on that model. And you're like, yes.
Yes.
Hours.
I definitely didn't base coat it, wash it, and stab.
You know what's crazy is, like, I mean, I know everyone loves the weathering powder, and I know there's a lot of cheap ways to get it. My favorite way now is, like, picking up, like, the big jar of pigment from the art store for like $8.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally the size of the maraschino cherries we used in our Polynesian punch.
Oh yeah, I did forget that we are all drinking Polynesian punch because out of the classy hotel coffee insulated coffee cups, because the glasses are like fucking 3 ounce tumblers,
also,
and that shit is unacceptable.
Do not drink from hotel glasses. They're gross.
Yeah.
I watch enough Dateline to know that shit.
Yeah. Oh, joy of joys. So anyway, and I mean for me this week in hobby, because you were painting till 2 in the morning, I decided
now.
To no, I was painting well, I did the rims of your bases, which doesn't even count. But I am once more painting Tyranids because, hey, battered spouse!
Yeah,
baby!
Mm-hmm. For those of you who didn't hear, he is painting Tyranids again. He's got a new scheme and everything!
For the record, okay, this will be my fourth Tyranid scheme since I started playing them back in 98.
Does Skittles count?
Okay,
the
no.
Skittles
okay, if we're gonna count the Skittles count? One that my mom painted for me as a surprise for Christmas one year.
Surprise!
Here's
an army. You
taste
never...
the rainbow.
Oh God!
I never, even though I had a fully painted army, I never went to the Games Workshop store out of embarrassment. if we count that, this will be the fifth scheme. But surprise. So yeah, like I said, starting new Tyranid army, which I don't mind because the list that I'm planning for 1850 right now has about 30 models in it to start. Nidzilla to the max, bitches.
So wait. You are taking 3 Terror effects, right?
The card effects with the double devour? Because I have 3 of those bitches.
There's that too.
I was going to say, I'm like, yeah, I got 3 card effects, a couple winged hive tyrants, a couple turbogons. Like, let's do this.
Oh my God.
But I'm probably going to tweak the list a bit to add in Venom Thropes just to make my Death Star of card effects even better. Harder to kill? Sign me up. But anyway, so like I said, that's been me kind of helping the wife here and there, as in I painted the rims on her bases, but I'll say I did more than that. Painting
because I
Tyranids.
Promised you head to
yes,
help me.
Yes, you were just like, if you help me paint my army, I'll give you a blowjob. And I was just like, look, I'm helping. Look at me do all of this work on your army. I mean, I am saving you tens of seconds here. Clearly, that's worth a blowjob. But it happens. But that's been this week in hobby. I'm actually hoping to keep painting quite a bit because I have been not playing. I didn't play Star Wars at all this week, so that's why I had all that free time
what
to
a
do
good boy
to,
you
to
are.
Paint.
It's funny what happens when MMOs don't drag you down. And you
good lord,
focus on your hobby.
I know you're just like, wait a second. I got out of my Skinner box. What is this? Is this sun? I don't recognize it. What is this world around me? Who are you? You're my kid? I don't have a kid. What the fuck?
Oh, Blizzard, what have you done to us?
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's go on to the weekly listener poll for last week. Last week was, and this was the one that Lang was really curious about, and the...
Honest to God.
Honestly, the results of this question of the, do you shop through the Games Workshop online store, do not surprise me in the least bit. I don't think it surprises anyone.
One vote
so,
surprises me.
One vote does surprise me. Probably lives in the middle of Buttfuck, Iowa. Nothing near him. No other choice. So when we did this, thank you for voting. Do you shop through the Games Workshop online store? 60% say no. 37% say only as a last resort. And that's actually where I cast my vote because, as some dumb bitch said as the first comment, you can't buy limited edition books through
anywhere else.
Anywhere but through the online store, which is, I think, the only thing either of us have bought from the Games Workshop online store ever. And then one person said yes, 2%, one person. And I was like, really? Really? Like I said, that's why I'm just like, maybe he lives in the middle of nowhere. But with that, we did get a number of comments. You know, again, the wife said you can't buy limited edition anything anywhere else. And that's all that she buys from the GW web store, which is true because you bought the limited edition Tau book, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I bought the limited edition High Elf book, which is a letdown. And I don't think I'll ever buy another LE again, which I'm saying now, but we all know that when Tyranids Limited Edition comes out, I'm going to add 10 to cart.
If like, they just, release boom! The Farsight Battered Enclave,
what? Oh yeah,
it is
Farsight Enclave Limited Edition, that shit is added to cart right there. So then we had another comment from Andy Goodbrush. One, I tend to pick up secondhand off eBay, but the bidding is pretty competitive, so it's always really hard to grab a bargain there these days. And that's actually a good point. I think I've only bought off eBay once.
And it was such a bad experience.
Well, I got 7 Dark Eldar Raiders, and this is like 2002, so these are the shit ones, not even like the current stuff, for the price of 2, which was a great deal, but then they came soaked, I think is the best word, in metallic primer.
Like so thick that like the metallic
oh my god, everywhere. Like, oh my god, it was just like he came all over those models. And then he was like, these are disgusting, I can't work with them. So he probably thought that he was making out like a bandit, but I just stripped it. Two, the pros are it's cheap. The cons are you may have to repaint a pre-loved model that was assembled and painted by a 10-year-old. Like I said, that was my one and only eBay experience.
On occasion with a hot glue gun.
Oh, Lord, that would be
Have you
awful.
Had that experience?
Yes. Well, not an eBay model, but I have seen them. I've seen them in store built with a hot glue gun. And,
no.
I've seen them for sale at Bits Bazaars.
Guys,
awful.
A hot glue gun is a chick's tool. Okay, I'm going to say it now. If you are using a hot glue gun to build shit that is, like, for modeling... not terrain, you are doing something wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I will agree wholeheartedly. Number three, does it make me a dick that I laugh when I notice someone get carried away and bid more for a secondhand model piece of crap than it would cost them to buy the model brand new? Absolutely not. That is the joy of eBay. Especially when you can see the guy, like, really, like, it's just like you make a bid and he's immediate on it. I like to put a bid that basically up to retail just to force the guy to go over because I'm that kind of asshole.
It's step back and step there. That's the joy of being a cynical asshole.
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm like, I know the cost of this shit, so I'm willing to pay retail. Sure.
So one might call you a jaded gamer?
No. And then four, even with eBay, I haven't bought any models since September. I'd rather paint what I already have. I have lots. I think that's true of everyone.
That's way too true.
Just because I have lots does not mean I don't want to buy more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was going to say, in the cellophane right now in our house, for you alone, I'm not even going to get into my stuff because that's... I could not tell you what I have, but I know you have a flyer, you have 3 broadsides, you have a box of Fire Warriors. Mm-hmm. You also have 1 Crisis suit, which you can't trade in anymore because it's out of production. And you have a Hammerhead, all cello wrapped.
A completely untouched Firestorm Armada army. Completely untouched.
That's not true. I started building one of those ships.
I started building one of those ships too, but it's
there
like,
we go.
They're not even painted.
And let's be honest, we all do the thing where we go, oh, man, I have a lot of armies. I should really start painting all the stuff I've got. And then a month later, a new army comes out and we get Shiny Squirrel Syndrome.
Ooh,
new
army. Ooh, Eldar. Plastic bag. Brian says, pay where you play, enough said. And you know what? I love that one because at the end of the day, you know, I mean, we all love sticking it to Games Workshop despite playing their games, but it's just like, if you're going to play at an independent retailer and you're the cunt who doesn't buy anything from him because you're surfing eBay or you're trying to get secondhand models, go fuck yourself. Because, you know, with independent retailers, this is their lifeblood. The only way they're able to put food on their fucking table is because you're not being a cheap cunt. So, I mean, for me, maybe it's because, you know, Kyle, who is a regular guest host on the show, owns his own shop that it's like a nerve for me. But like, seriously, you know what, Brian? Like I said, I applaud you. I think that is the best response to this. And then we have one more comment from Prodigal Player. And it's a long one, so, you know, sit back, grab your drink.
He did not catch the point hydrate. Form.
Good Lord, bullet points! Bullet points! We've been in this 135 episodes, and you don't even have bullet points down. God damn it. For all the speculation that GW wants to go to directly only eventually, you'd never know that they actually wanted to succeed in that goal based on the sorry state of their own website. And it is the best website that 2004 has.
That is the best Games Workshop website they've ever had.
Oh, you're absolutely true.
I don't think I've seen a website so well maintained for 8 years straight.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been even remotely tempted to purchase a single thing through them directly. I suppose if there were ever a limited edition, whatever that I wanted, it could theoretically happen. But even then, I feel like I could probably get a secondhand one through eBay, which is a decent point. I bet if I were to eBay right now, actually, I did. When I went looking for limited edition demon codexes, and I almost bought one, but they didn't have the god I wanted, so I went, fuck you. And it's even cheaper than Games Workshop, because it's secondhand, like 4 months old. I also find it shocking that they do so little to actually drive traffic to their own website. The fact that White Dwarf Daily is literally 90% advertisements for whatever they released in a given month, you clearly don't go there more because it's 100% advertisements for whatever they released in a given month. So, I mean, do not give them 10% credit.
All three of us all three of us have worked for Games Workshop, we know that we've been told from the brass above that White Dwarf is the only advertising Games Workshop does. The only advertising.
Listen, I can tell you right now what White Dwarf Daily does. They will put out, like, let's start with the teaser trailer. So, oh my god, it's a really shitty YouTube clip that lasts 40 seconds for a product that everyone knew what it was beforehand.
I think
then they pop up all, so then for the next week, it's just like, hey everyone, look at this army's current range. Then they'll release all the pre-releases up on Saturday, and they're like, check out all these, quote, awesome models. Fucking Skulldozer piece of shit. And they'll just be like, and then the next week is every single day, look at the 360 view of this one model that's coming out. Then you have release day, and the next week is every single day, look at this painted version of this that we've gotten from our inbox. Like, do not tell me that they have 10% of content that is not a blatant fucking advertisement for whatever they're releasing. It's terrible. Like, I've... Basically, I don't read anything on it anymore. I just go for, like, the mini porn and color schemes, because when people submit, like, some of their own stuff, some of it is really, really nice. And a lot of times I'm inspired looking at color schemes, the way people do things. That's all I'm doing. I'm looking at the pretty pictures. But anyway, let's keep going with that one. Oh, fine.
I was going to say, it's sad that the website's done that, because I remember when I worked there, the White Dwarf Daily and those kind of blog updates, they would have painting tutorials, modeling tutorials, terrain building, like everything. Oh,
yeah, but why would you build terrain out of styrofoam that costs
when you can buy a one-click bundle for, you know, and you can get two realm of battle board, and you can get all sorts of other plastic terrain, not enough to fill 2 4x6 boards. Yeah. God, no, we don't have that much terrain.
I'm kind of only just realizing how much emphasis has shifted from, hey, look at this cool terrain you can make with, you know, our guides and our book, to just buy our terrain, don't bother.
Yeah, they don't even release that book anymore. Because I remember they used to have the How to Make Citadel Terrain book, along with the How to Paint Citadel Miniatures. They were really, really great books. You don't have any of that now. It's all just buy our shit.
Here's the big question.
And I went from being a daily reader of White Dwarf Daily for that kind of stuff, because you're right. They would give you painting tips. They'd give you interesting campaign ideas. And now it is literally just sell. This is the new shit, buy it.
Does Games Workshop still sell a hot wire cutter?
Ooh.
I don't think they do.
Exactly. No. So instead of buying a hot wire cutter for $25...
Well, I think the hot wire was $40, but it would last forever.
Yeah, there's no moving parts on that thing. It wouldn't break.
If 8 hours was forever, as far as the batteries went.
The batteries,
well, yeah. I mean, like, dude, replace D-cell batteries. I mean, realistically, the hot wire cutter from Games Workshop and children toys were the only reason to ever buy D-cell batteries, ever. But going back to Prodigal Player, he says that they released in a given month means that there's no incentive to actually even visit their site, which I agree with, because like I said, I don't read anything there. And I can go a week without going. And presumably people have to first visit your site before considering purchasing something. It constantly boggles my mind that they are willing to concede so much online real estate to meta blogs like Balls, which is also terrible. I salute you for that, and I would clink glasses if it would make a sound, but it
You've
really
got
won't.
Other glasses. That
Look,
you
I will take
down.
two empty glasses. There we go. That is how fucking ghetto we do it when we are on the road. when they could easily simply actually release daily content that people would want to view and read. Take a look at Wizards and their approach to daily magic editorials on their website. Consider how much of a marketing punt GW's website truly is. You know what? And I think you're absolutely right, because I remember way, 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 way back in the day when Games Workshop actually maintained and administered their own web forms, where they said, we want you to come to our website to talk about our games, and we have fucking Games Workshop employees that are being administrators of the site to make sure that it doesn't devolve into an anti-GW flame war. But that was back when GW gave a fuck. That was back when you could order bits from them. That was back when their prices were not fucking retarded prohibitive, because, I mean, I think I priced out, if I wanted to do a Tau army owning some components of it right now, if I wanted to do an 1850-point Tau army, it will cost me $980.
Oh, you think that's bad?
Yeah, we were
thinking about crazy orc lists that I could build just this weekend, talking about heading into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, hey, at 1850, I could build a 70 warbiker army. It would be devastating. And then I thought about how much for each box. They're 50 for three bikes. It would cost me $1,400 to build this army. $1,400.
Oh, well, you know, and that's exactly
plus
it.
GST.
What's GST?
You know what's a real fuck you, though, is, like I said, it was $980. I immediately flipped to the US, $800, and I was like, I fucking hate you, mm-hmm. you stupid fucking rat bastard cunts. But anyway, like I said, it is one of those things that you're absolutely right. Games Workshop has basically decided that the only thing they have any interest in from us is our money. And, I mean, I'm guilty. I'm going to keep giving it to them. This is not me saying, and that's why I'm kicking the table with the microphone. this isn't me saying, and that's why I quit Games Workshop. Like, fuck no. You know, I know my pimp abuses me, but every now and then, he's pretty okay. He lets me keep a fiver. You know, maybe hooks me up with some heroin on the cheap, and I'm going to keep on going back. You know, and I'm going to keep on, like, just sucking that big old cock. But that's, I recognize that. I'm not one of those fucktards. Like, because we talked about it with that whole nerd rage thing, where it's just like, I'm not going to just be like, I fucking quit, because I recognize I have so many thousands of both dollars and hours invested in my Tyranid army. I will always love Tyranids. As much as I want to walk away from that army, I can't.
Well, not only that, though, you have your network, right? Like, I didn't realize how many people I have run into, like, because I took a hiatus with my Tau army. I took a hiatus from playing for a while there.
5 years?
Yeah, pretty much. It felt like after I got pregnant, I stopped playing. I organized a couple tournaments and did all this and that. But I coming back to actually playing in a tournament, I reconnected with all these people. I totally lost touch with since I've like graduated university since like 2006, which is like insane. So you can't put a price tag on that. No matter how much I may rage on GW for, say, having such a like production issues with the Tau or this or that, I ultimately can't be too mad, because like the community is so awesome. It's just so awesome.
You know, and I think that's exactly it. Is, I mean, like we talked about it before, where it's just like no other game comes with the built-in player base. I mean, when we're talking about Adepticon, you know, name another miniature war game that has a tournament that's going to pull 5,000 people from across the world.
Oh, dude, no kidding.
Because you can't.
30 people are probably paying Infinity at that.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably have, like, the biggest Infinity tournament in the world at, like, 30 people.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, no other game has the draw. No other game comes with the built-in community. Sorry if I'm sounding far away. I'm maraschino cherrying everyone's Polynesian punch. And then I'm probably going to make another batch. Good thing we have housekeeping.
That's because coming out of the closet.
Those just splashed all over the carpet.
Just dump all the cherries into my cup. There you go.
There we go.
Take down those cherries. Right. Beautiful.
Sweetness.
Thank you.
But yeah, and I think that's inherently it. And I think the problem is Games Workshop knows it. they know that they have the biggest community, they have the biggest outreach, and people will keep coming for that, no matter what they do to piss them off. And you know what? Whatever. Let's not devolve into another price discussion, because I kind of want to move us along to the model of the week. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, because this was put on the page on the Jada GamerCast Facebook page for a while ago.
People who might be angry at Games Workshop.
Speaking of people who are angry at Games Workshop, we are talking about a War Machine model here, which is the Prime Axiom from the Who Gives a Fuck faction of War Machine. This is the one that was posted up. It's the $149 Super Resiny Gigantor for six inexplicable legged model. We're going to put a link up in the description. It does have a 360 rotation view, so you can kind of have a look at the whole thing. Steve, you suggested this model as the guest host. Lead us off.
I kind of hit a point of confliction on this. The first time I ever saw the concept art for this, I went, oh my god, this model is incredible. I need seven of them. I would do anything I need to fit these into my armies. But once they actually released the final sculpt of it, I got a good look at it, took a good look at the 360 view, and I started wondering, like, this might be a little bit too over the top. It is, like, if you're listening to this and you haven't looked at it yet, it has six legs, it has little pods on its legs that actually spit out little units that fall out from it. It has two giant arms with drills.
They have a cream for that,
though. Each arm has three.
Each arm has three fingers, which actually combine together to a drill, conceptually, anyways. I don't think the model actually does. Okay. It's got two giant harpoon launchers on its shoulders. It's got, like, spike missile launchers on its
head. Oh, God, those are harpoons.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Oh, yeah. No, they hit a model, and they're supposed to drag it back towards it, where it then pounds on its drills. War Machine's a game that's built around being over the top and insane and really badass, but I don't know how, but they seem to have actually gone too far with this one.
You know, if we were to say that War Machine is, like, full of over-the-top gay men, this would be, like, the over-the-top drag queen. That's just what comes to mind.
You know, if you look at it at the right angle, the six legs actually kind of look like a dress or a skirt.
It kind of looks like a dress, right?
Well, you know, I don't know, I got nothing. No, I mean, for me, you got one with fucking you. God damn it, woman.
I'm
one thing
sorry.
Of cocktail cherries, one thing of maraschino cherries.
You can't trust me.
I clearly can't trust
shopping.
You to go grocery shopping.
And the cherries are on the top shelf, and I'm reaching blindly. Because I'm standing on the lowest shelf.
That's fair. No, but I mean, like, for me, you know, I don't think I've said this recently, but it's something that I said way, way back in, I think, like, episode, like, 10, something way back then. With my models, I am personally a fan of more, you know, less is more. All of the bullshit extras that Games Workshop crams onto sprues, where it's just like, look, these Marines can have satchels and grenades and belts.
Oh god, I've got so many
now. I never put that kind of stuff on there, because when I am building a model, and when I'm painting a model especially, I like the sculpt to kind of speak for itself. It's why I hate Space Wolves and Blood Angels and Grey Knights and Black Templars, you know, and even Dark, like, the whole fetishization of Marines, I feel, ruins the Marine aesthetic for me. And I'm not saying that, like, the, you know, conceptually any of these chapters are bad, except Blood Angels are. They're fucking terrible. but it's just like, for me, what it always comes down to is all of the extra bullshit, I think, detracts from what is inherently a strong concept in the Space Marine. So it's just like, I have no problems. If you want to do Space Wolves by taking basic Marines and painting them baby blue, go nuts. That's what they used to be. Mm-hmm. But all this wolf tail, wolf ear bullshit pulls away, and I feel like this Prime Axiom model is guilty as fuck of this. And I mean, this is, I think, our second War Machine model on Model of the Week. Is this a problem in all of War Machine, where they're just like, we've decided this one thing is cool, a little bit of salt makes my food taste good, so if I just take the whole shaker and dump that motherfucker on my plate, this will be the best meal of my life. And no, it feels like that is the aesthetic that all of their army like end up going for based on the two models in my broad sweeping generalization.
It really isn't. This one is a pretty bad example of it, but for the most part, they do a really good job of reigning in the style. This one was a case of, oh dear sweet lord, we're finally doing a new army, let's make this thing badass. And they went for Art Deco style, they went for really classic, like...
Hey, can we get more cowbell? I mean, it's good, but we need more cowbell.
I honestly think this is the thing, is they had too many badass ideas, and they squished them all into one army. Because they went clockwork, they went Art Deco, they went sci-fi, and they just mushed it all into one thing. And the army as a whole looks pretty good, but it's just like, this one thing is like, okay, we're making one colossal, let's put everything into this.
And just
went overboard.
Yeah, you know, so like I said, we'll put the picture up. So I don't want to dwell on this because, again, I think this is really a love it or hate it model.
It's a
lovely
paint job on that thing, though.
Oh, yeah, that paint job is trying to
I've seen their studio painters in person at PAX, and they are mind-blowing.
The lighting effect off of the model, like, it...
It looks like there's LEDs in it.
Paint job itself is really, really good. Like I said, I don't think there's anyone that's going to look at this model and just be like, hey, it's all right. I think you're either going to really, really like it for what it is. And you have to remember that it's fucking massive. Like, one thing the Forge World likes to do is post scale photos. It's lost on this. Like, this model is gargantuan.
What size would you say that base is?
That's 120mm base.
Oh my freaking god.
And he's hanging over all of it. Like, like I said, the model itself is really fucking massive.
If you scroll down it, I'll just show you.
You know, but like I said, they really don't give you a lot of scale things. So, I mean, like I said, I think people are going to love it or hate it. There's going to be no in-between. Check out the link. It's on both the Facebook page as well as the...
$144.
The listing for it. So like I said, it's $145 and it's a resin white metal mix kit, which I'm a little I'm a little hesitant about because I find that usually when you do a resin metal, you have balance issues. You may need to weight it.
For stuff like this, is actually things like the fingers or the really fine, thin joints.
Yeah, you know those fingers are metal.
That's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, that's that. We're getting on there. We're already at the past a half hour. So let's talk about the main topic for the show, which kind of stemmed from it, came from out of the basement 2013. And again, like before you get started, if you are one of the organizers there, if you did attend, keep in mind that, you know what, I love you guys. This is not a criticism of the event at all, but it's something that we are noticing. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. This is a trend that I noticed because Onslaught allowed it. I came from out of the basement, allowed it. You're starting to see a lot of other tournaments. There's a tournament I was considering going into Spokane, but this was the deal breaker for me where I was just like, nope, I'm not interested in any event that allows it. Mm-hmm. And that is the allowing of Forge World models and rules, and specifically the ones with the 40K approved stamp, which I know is what Games Workshop and Forge World are sort of working towards. Mm-hmm. So now whenever Forge World creates, for those that don't know, whenever Forge World creates a model, they'll write their own half-assed, piss-poor rules for it. And when Games Workshop decides that it is the same level of half-assed piss-poor that Matt Ward and Robin Credice are capable of producing, they put this stamp on it, it says 40K approved, and that supposedly means that you can take this Forge World model with these Forge World rules and play it in regular games of Warhammer 40,000. Now, some tournaments do not take it. They do not allow this, regardless of what Games Workshop and Forge World would like you to do, as in shell out $200 for like a Lehman Russ Battle Tank variant. But other tournaments are kind of getting on the bandwagon. That is one thing that we did see. It came from out of the basement, allowed it, and I think they've actually allowed Forge World for a while, within reason. So I mean, this isn't new for them. I actually would say that they are one of the first tournaments that I know of, that I can name, that has allowed it. But one thing that I saw walking around is, good lord, are there some filthy fucking lists that are possible because of this Forge World is allowed kind of thing.
And here's the interesting twist on that. If you look at the individual units, some of them are pretty nasty as far as Forge World goes, but they're not like, oh dear sweet lord, I just need to take this and I break the game. It's the ability to combo certain units with other lists and other units that make them just utterly devastating. Like, absolutely.
So what you're saying, and this is something that this is what I personally feel. What you are saying is that the 40K approved on its own, like the Forge World garbage, isn't what's breaking the game, but it's the combination of allies with Forge World.
Because
this is the first, it came from Out of the Basement tournament, that is 6th edition.
Right.
That's allowing Forge World that has allies because it's 6th edition. Because I know last year, I think their tournament happened like a week after 6th ed dropped, so they were the last 5th edition tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is the first year that they've ever kind of had this problem where people are literally power gaming to the fucking nines, taking the dirtiest Forge World they can. I mean, obviously it's a new problem. It's not like we're just like, God damn it, guys, get on it. It's been years. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying it is the ability to abuse allies with Forge World that make it terrible, or is it just Forge World on its own?
Not so much abusing allies as well, but also having just Forge World with your standard army. There's so many combos that Games Workshop did not think of when they wrote the standard codexes that just seem to come up when they're like, oh, we didn't think of that. It's the same kind of thing like with Magic the Gathering when they have to go back and start doing ban lists. Like, oh, we didn't think people would use this card this way. We have to ban this from tournament play. And that's what's going to happen when you start adding units after the fact of the book being finished.
Well, I think you've got also the thing of most Forge World is overpriced, like in terms of points. But there's a few things that are just under. And because they're so under, they wreck it a little bit for everyone else, right? Like, they just wreck it for everyone else. And I think, like, Steve, you got it right when you say that these rules aren't made by the designers of the codex. They're not made in balance with the other points costs that codex.
Oh, no, and they don't playtest these either.
Of course they're not playtested, right?
So or if they are, it's one or two games with Studio Marine armies versus Studio Marine armies.
Oh, yeah.
They just kind of be like, it doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah, GW codexes, they playtest for like 8 months, and these ones is just like, a couple games. Sure, throw out the door.
I think what it is, it's like house rules. Like, you can't just make up rules to play with models. Like, I remember when they had vehicle design rules.
And creature design and rules.
Oh, that one Tyranid player.
Like, I think we all remember that.
That was me. Yeah. I was that one Tyranid player.
that douchebag Tyranid player, that's right. Who overpaid for that model. But it was something that was fun. Those rules were intended to be played in fun. Those rules were not intended to be played at a tournament. Those rules were not to be played in a competitive setting. And I wonder now whether or not, if Games Workshop still had Art Boys, whether or not they would allow Forge World. And my vote would be no, because it's so breaking. It would be crazy.
Yeah. It's a little bit too much out of their control that they wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do miss the days when it was like, you know, Forge was really cool. You play it with your friends, but this is not for the competitive scene.
No.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I remember back when, because when Forge World first started, again, going back in my day, sonny, we wore onions on our belt, which was the fashion at the time. when Forge World started, they literally only created conversion kits. So it's just like, my Imperial Guard army, you know, I've got 2 Leman Russes. I do not want these Leman Russes to look the same as everyone else's. So I am going to purchase up this fucking Mars pattern or, you know, Kappa Kappa Wong pattern. Also another way for us to say Mars. good old Futurama. All it was, this is a conversion kit that makes your army just a little bit unique. And it wasn't stupid expensive. And yeah, I think that's a heavy gin pour in this bunch. So.
Oh my gosh.
Get ready to not drive anywhere.
Bartender makes people drunker.
Hey, whatever. Go fuck yourselves. Yeah, exactly. So like I said, it's one of those things where when Forge World started, they didn't even have anyone to write rules for them. It was kind of like they picked up, like, one guy, and he kind of writes rules, and they don't really get it.
And they were all fucked up. Like, I remember so fucked up.
I remember working for Games Workshop, and it was just, like, it was regular to just rag on how terrible their rules are, because they weren't even fucking close. They weren't, it was just like, so you're saying that this Lehman, you know, our Lehman Russ is 150 points, and your Lehman Russ, who swaps out its, like, strength 8 AP 3 gun for a strength 7 AP, like, 4 gun, is, like, 80 points more expensive? What the fuck are you thinking? Like, they had no idea what they were doing. Because actually, hilarious side note, back in the day, Forge World priced their vehicles based off of Games Workshop's vehicle design rules.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's why everything
that is
more expensive.
That is why everything
that's
was always just a little bit
more
expensive. And that,
yeah.
Because that is honestly and legitimately, before they had actual game developers on the payroll, that is how they wrote their rules. Is they just looked at the Games Workshop vehicle design rules, put through whatever they had, and spat out the points cost, which is why it was always out to lunch. For me, I think what it is now in 6th edition, because you have to remember, 6th edition altered the landscape. I don't think it's so much that just Forge World, because again, Out of the Basement has been doing this for years, and it's never been an issue before. I've never looked around and gone, "Good Lord!" Like I am on a 40k. Yeah,
really,
I am on a 40k kick right now. And you know, anyone who's listened to this show for a long any period of time knows that I do love going to tournaments. So I am itching to go to a 40k tournament, and walking around and looking at that, I'm grateful I'm not playing this weekend. And that's not a hit on the Out of the Basement guys.
Not out
it's,
of the organizing.
You know, it has nothing to do with the organizing. It's just the people that showed up and the list that they're playing. And I think what it is the triple whammy of Forge World, Allies, and Fortifications.
Yep.
And I think you add all of these things in, because again, you know, let's talk about the Hydra flak emplacements. Again, they're nothing new, but it's just like, okay, before you take a few and be like, haha, okay, I might punch a rhino to death, but now you're putting it behind an Aegis defense line, so you're pulling fucking cover on an piece of artillery, you're blasting flyers out of the sky, and it's just like, it's fucking bullshit, the things that you can do, because with Guard being able to ally with, I think, everyone, you know, anyone basically, but Tyranids, because they don't get any allies, and that's the only reason you can't take Guard with them.
Nobody
you
wants know. Your bugs.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, and like I said, I'm not even, like, I've already talked about my Gene Stealer cult missed opportunity, so I'm not even going to bring that up, but it's just like, Guard can ally with everyone. So what you're seeing, and this is something that I'm seeing, is just like, you see these bullshit armies with Guard allies just to get fucking anti-air high, you know, Hydras.
Yep.
And they're all hot bunkering behind Aegis defense lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, for fuck's sakes, I saw, you know, and just, you know, for point of fact, Terry played an army, a demon's army of all things, that never moved out of its Aegis defense line. It just fucking sat there.
Yep.
And I think that that is something, you know, and it used Forge World for extra shooting, and, you know, and all these things. So again, like, you're just looking at it, and you're just like, you know, for fuck's sakes, can we move on? Can we look at something? And I think what it comes down to, and this is a question I want to ask you, is just like, first of all, Steve, Terry, have either of you had to play an army that is tooling the fuck out of the both the Forge World and the Allies rules?
Not me yet. I've seen the Aegis, like you described the Aegis defense line situation, where it's just like, we rolled first turn and it was Night Fight, and the first thing he said was, you know, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I was like, what?
I'm Tau, what the
I'm
fuck?
I'm Tau with 72 freaking fire warriors. Like, I have no flyers, no vehicles, nothing. So clearly this is going to hurt me, but no, it actually did hurt him more. So yeah, I've seen that. I think maybe part of the frustration was last week I played in Kyle's tournament, which is a campaign style tournament at Imaginary Wars that was like...
Hey, didn't you tool the fuck out of Scott West?
I did! Oh man! No. We haven't talked about that in a full week. Oh,
direct
my gosh.
Shot on the podcast.
Oh, I know. There you go, Scott. That one's for you.
But I think what was different there was Kyle was very specific. There was no Forge World allowed. Unit, like, no model could be more than 225 points. So it limited flyers as well. I have seen so many fucking flyers. Like, three Helldrakes?
You played a double Helldrake list.
No, three Helldrakes and a Flying Hive Tyrant.
Oh,
just
freaking...
To...
Oh, yeah.
Or the Flying Demon Prince.
Flying Demon Prince.
You can't ally a Hive Tyrant. We've discussed this, man.
This is heresy.
But, like, it's... And
I'm just going to say it. He's cheating.
I don't know if that's partly because of the meta of the tournament. I don't know whether that's because this event is a GT tournament and people really want the auto invite. Like, I don't know what that is, but I can see people coming out to an event that's supposed to be fun, tooling the fuck out. Tooling the fuck out, and it's yeah. It's
well, and that's the thing is I was it's I'm not drinking. An episode. It's not an episode if I don't do that. I was at the January one. You know, the whole Saturday one day tournament, Sunday at like 8 a.m. We're flying out to LA, so we had.
Oh my
god! I basically threw my last game. I was just like, everything walk forward. Look, I'm dead. Okay, pack up. See you later. Bye. I just don't care. Nobody. I was walking around, and their January event is what they mm-hmm. what they claim is, or rather, what they aim for
yeah.
to be their balls to the walls generalship fucking event. The list 40K lists I thought were softer in January than they are now. Like there are some brutal fucking lists there at that tournament. Yep. And like I said, I am itching to go to a tournament. We're already planning our fucking Adepticon tournament, and I am going to... Because, oh, look, Adepticon's my birthday next year?
No. Coincidence. Surprise!
Oh, surprise!
Screaming heretic, we're coming to see you.
Exactly. So it's just like, you know, I'm absolutely going to play the 40K Championship, which is something I did not do the first year I went, because I only played Fantasy.
Yep.
And I'm stoked. And like I said, I was glad that I wasn't playing there. You know, because there are some armies. And I mean, I'm not saying that a hard army is bad. Because again, just to call people out, Jordan, I would love to play your list, your demon list, which is yep. not using allies, which is, actually, sorry, you have an allied demon prince HQ fucker with cultists to camp on an objective. But this isn't terrible.
Just
you know,
because he wants to play again doesn't mean he won't boo you when you win.
Well, I mean, that just goes without saying. You can't not boo him.
Mm-hmm. a hard list does not... A hard list does not a douchebag make.
No, right? and that's exactly it. It's just like, okay, so you're taking Chaos Space Marine allies because you can get a cheapest Borscht scoring unit and another monster, flying monstrous creature in your list. I'm not going to give you a hard time because, again, the allies rules are built into the main rule book. So, I mean, clearly, like we said, Games Workshop playtests the fuck out of things. This isn't terrible. So I'm just like, I'm not upset about you taking a hard list. But like I said, it's the triple whammy where it's like, I'm taking the best of Forge World with the best allies I can get to cover the only weakness in my list, and I'm going to camp behind an Aegis defense line. Because, you know what, 40K players, you don't play Fantasy, I'll cut you some slack, but who the fuck liked playing the castled gunline dwarf list? Fucking nobody. Fucking nobody wanted to play castled gunline dwarves. Why? Because all they did was deploy in a corner like you're behind an Aegis defense line, motherfuckers, and just shoot the fuck out of you. And so by the time you eventually got to combat, because they were on their back board edge, because it's not like dwarves ever suffered from psychology.
Back corner.
So it's as far as possible, and you can only throw one decimated unit at a time. They'd fuck your face in. And I know that this is a new playstyle for you, 40K gamers, but let me tell you something. You're all assholes if you do it. Learn to play the game, because first of all, like, how is this even fun? I mean, we know dwarf players who went from doing that to either moving on from playing dwarves or just playing different dwarves because it's boring
or
as fuck.
Or slitting their wrists because they hated themselves so much.
Yeah, exactly. As somebody on the receiving end of bunker lists on fairly frequent occasion in both 4K and Fantasy, because it happens.
Yeah.
The movement phase is fun, but I also like the combat phase. The combat phase is very interesting because you interact with your opponent in the combat phase.
Yes.
However, the movement phase and you're watching your army die in droves and melt on their way in is...
Well, but I mean...
Everyone who says, Terry, you play Tau, you should hate the assault phase. Well, I mean, my first two Tau turns are always great and I love them, but it's not fun for my opponent. And by the time he hits my lines with his assault... There's a twinkle that comes back in his eye.
Oh, that is so joyous to see.
Well,
I mean, like, I've watched games like that. I mean, shit, I've been playing. You know, I'm a combat army, so it's just like I know. It's just like I know how this game is going to go.
Yep.
But good lord, when I have to pull like a hundred, like, you know, dozens of models off every shooting phase, and you're just sweeping, sweeping, and I'm doing nothing. Where it's like, look, my pot shot killed one guy. It sucks ass. And then you hit combat, and you finally get into that part, and yes, I start to feel better. And, you know, it's a two-player game, but I mean, going back to that whole bunker thing, what I don't get is, how is that fun? How is not moving anything but your flyers, which have minimum move distance? Because
yeah.
If you can get away with not moving those motherfuckers and still having snapshot only, I know you would not move those.
Hover mode Vendettas and Valkyries.
Well, that's only because at armor 12 all around, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
And 3 hell points.
Fuck.
I cannot wait for that book to be redone.
Mm. Oh my god.
Wait, so the Vendetta's 100 points under-costed? Yeah, it totally is. That's why I have 3 of them, because, I mean, if I had to pay 300 points more for that...
You mean wait for them to get redone and get 2 more flyers, a few more tank variants, and everything get cheaper.
Woo! So what, Credace is going to write the Imperial Guard Part 2 as well?
Or Matt Ward.
Matt Ward. But he's also... You know, actually, pay the price enough, guys.
Reading about how Colonel Schaefer and his last chancers killed an Avatar, because they're motherfuckers. You know, because you know Matt Ward Fluff would do something.
To be fair, I would actually read that and enjoy it. In a very guilty pleasure kind of way, like, this is completely ridiculous, but I love it.
I don't understand. I mean, I have been on both the giving and receiving end of 20-minute massacres, where it's just like, I have fucking tabled you. It took me longer to walk to the table and deploy my army than it did for me to kill every single model in your list. And like I said, both giving and receiving. And I can say on both ends of that, that game is not fun.
Okay.
You know, the best games I've ever played are ones where it's just like, fucking bottom of turn 6, last dice roll, let's see it. Because, like, you're emotionally invested, you know, you want it, you know, you're edge of your seat. Those are the greatest fucking games, but I mean, I don't understand how it's even remotely fun to stand in your corner behind your fucking defense line and just roll dice in the shooting phase. Because like you said, at least in the assault phase, we interact. I do this, you do that, we get new models, we have to compare stuff. But shooting is literally a game of solitaire. Like, if you like solitaire, pull out your fucking iPhone, download Candy Crush, and just go fuck yourself while you're playing Candy Crush the whole time. Because it's a more enjoyable experience for me to not have you there.
Going back to the main topic a little bit, it's on the same line. I've got a couple of main issues with it. For one, usually when these forgeable armies come into play, it is with a bunker army.
Oh, yeah.
And the main reason I have with that, going along with that, is that you don't need to do that. We've gotten so much stuff from Forge World. Valkyries came from Forge World. Vendettas came from Forge World. Most of the Lehman Russ variants came from Forge World. So much stuff came from Forge World originally. We have it now in 40K Codex as balanced.
Piranhas.
And piranhas.
Sky Rays.
Yeah.
But like, it's just, but like, then, the list does go on.
But all of this stuff, like Hydra Flak batteries, are just used to add on to these tools that we already have and don't need just to cheese out the army. Oh. You already have anti-air for guard, so here's these Hydra Flak batteries. They're cheaper anti-air. Why? Because you can.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing that you have to look at is when Forge World does create models, now anyway, and this is true of the last few years as well, so this is not recent. Forge World kind of works on a theme. So they're just like, we are going to release Death Core of Krieg.
Yeah, they're working on books now.
And we have this idea and this concept, and we're only going to release stuff that kind of fits for that. And oh, look, as it so happens, some of those rules happen to be 40K approved because they're not terrible, but they're meant to be played within this thematic list.
No, hang on a second. I have the Imperial Armor 12 book, and recently, especially with Imperial Armor 11 and 12, every single unit has been 40K approved. Literally, without question, except for super heavies.
Here's what I'm looking at. Like,
I hope whoever has that stamp choked on a bowl of dicks.
But I think when I look at that stuff, to me, the way I look at Forge World is the same way I look at, like, Chapter House Studios. And if Chapter House started publishing their own rules to go with models,
and they got that same fancy stamp. I think that might actually get them sued. They would lose the lawsuit if they started stamping 40K approved.
You can't have your stamp.
But like, if they said, play your games with your friends with these rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they made rules that were, quote-unquote, compatible with Warhammer 40,000.
And suddenly they're not sued.
And suddenly they're not sued. What would happen? What would happen there? And ultimately people would be like, that's broken! That's game-breaking! But that's the same thing as what Forge World is right now. That is the same thing. And so I'm really sore about it. I'm going to admit I'm really sore about Forge World because, A, I don't have any in mind. Like, I don't benefit from it.
All right, we're going to get you some Tetris.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay.
And B, I find that I would rather play the person I'm standing across the table with instead of their wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather play the opponent rather than their pocket.
I will give one caveat to Forge World. If you play an army that is 100% Forge World, like if you play a Death Corps of Krieg army with nothing but entry from Death Corps of Krieg,
Elysian dropship,
are amazing, amazing themed lists, and they're actually, for the most part, balanced.
Well,
like, Chaos Dwarves, the only problem is one spell in their lore, and we all know what it is, the Ash Club. But yeah, for the most part, the Forge World lists in a vacuum on their own...
You can't do anything! By the way, everyone's flammable! I hate you. I hate you so much.
You can't do anything, you're flammable, and mine is to hit, and mine is to this, and my... But yeah, like, no, Forge World armies on their own, without mushing them into other stuff, just taking their own lists, are for the most part fairly balanced and very well themed.
Yeah,
but
you know,
when you mix them, it's a problem.
And that, you know, I think that's a... I mean, I know we're getting late in the episode, but I do think that that is actually kind of worth talking about. Because when you look at Forge World, what we're seeing is people saying, you know, tournaments saying, you know what, cherry pick. Take your 40K approved bullshit. Be a motherfucking douchebag. We don't care. You know, bring it on. But for God, no, don't take a Forge World list. They don't know how to write rules. You know, because that's exactly what's happening. You know, it's just like, because, like, I can take, you know, and whether we're talking about Onslaught or it came from out of the basement because they both allowed Forge World this year, or whether it's that Spokane tournament that I've been looking at, every one of them says you can take some Forge World units provided they have the 40K approved stamp. But not a single one of them is letting me take the horrifically underpowered Corsair Eldar list.
Oh, no.
None of them is letting me take a full Elysian Dropship list because, oh my god, I want to.
Oh, that's so badass.
Dude, watch Band of Brothers and tell me you don't want to do Elysian Dropships because I'll call you a fucking liar. You know, you can't do a Death Corps of Krieg list. You can't do a Talarin list. You cannot do...
Death Corps.
You know, so it's just like... I don't understand, and I think that is a really interesting point because, again, they're saying go ahead, cherry pick, be a douchebag, but God no, don't do anything themed. Don't play this list the way it is balanced together, and don't take these units the way they're intended to be taken. By all means, be an asshole about it because that's what we want you to do.
Yeah, basically what they're saying is, hey, you've got Blood Angels. Why don't you just take one of those units out of that Talbuck and just shove it into your army? Because it's basically the same thing.
You are a bad person if you do that, by the way. You are...
Now, is this experience from the weekend? Because I did see a Tau Blood Angels.
Actually, no. I played against Tau Eldar, and it great guy, David Singh. It was actually a fantastic game.
Yeah.
But the list itself is, oh my god.
Well, dude, I remember back when a guy I adore, Alan Pocock, used to play an orc list with Crew Mercs.
Oh, and it used to make me so mad
because
his orcs would have that sniper unit of crew hiding in the forest.
Oh, like, fuck off. What the fuck? But like, it doesn't feel like. Okay, I play for narrative. I run campaigns. Like, I love the story, and I love the story you're telling. But what story are you telling when you have Blood Angels and Tau on the same list? What is this narrative there? Like,
or. Blood Angels or Blood Angels and Necrons or
Grey Knights
and Necrons. If anyone can explain that to me, I would love it.
Like, Matt Ward wrote them all, and fuck you and your objectives. And your objections. I mean, he doesn't give a fuck about the fluff. I mean, he took the Necrons from. From a fluff perspective, old Necrons were probably the best army out there, and he turned them into whiny fucking bitches. Oh my god, I like to collect things. This is my stamp collection, and my Primarch collection, and you're just like, really? Really, Matt Ward? They're whiny space mummies? That's the best you fucking have?
Here's the question, Nathan. Do you miss Alessio? Sixth edition. Do you miss Alessio?
Yes and no.
Is it enough for you to want to play Warpath? That's the no, right?
Warpath. I don't know, but hey, everybody, let's pull out our Kings of War counts as Warhammer armies and play some Kings of War.
Counts as Warhammer. But, like, I just... Playing these games of Sixth, I never... Like, when people used to say it was fiddly...
Listen,
I...
At the, end of the, at the end of the day, 6th edition would have never happened under Alessio.
Never.
And I
not
do
the way,
believe,
not in its current carnage.
No, absolutely. And I do believe that 6th edition is an improvement over 5th edition. So, in that respect, do I wish Alessio was still head of the design studio? No. Because Alessio would have probably removed vehicles from 40K to make it an easier vehicle system. Oh my god, vehicles are so broken! Well, let's make it easier by just removing vehicles. Everyone's just infantry. There we go. Oh, and games are just won or lost. There's one objective in the middle. Every scenario.
Every boom! Scenario.
Same scenario. Every game.
Every game you play is cleansed.
Pitch battle every time.
Go.
Final destination. Fox only. No items.
Exactly. No, so I mean, like I said, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Alessio did good things because I don't think Games Workshop ever prospered more than under Alessio, because he made the game super accessible. Because again, second edition was a piece of shit. It was like second edition 40K and fifth edition Fantasy were some of the hardest games to play.
Did you know calculus?
Yeah, exactly.
did you know fuel ratios for land raiders?
Do you have your abacus with you? All right, I've got my list supplies. I got my tape measure. I got my dice. I have my abacus.
Guys, let's stop playing our miniature war game and play our card
our collectible
game.
Card game for the psychic phase and the magic phase.
Fuck.
Oh yeah, like I said, don't get me wrong. So
do you have enough D10s? Did you bring your D10s?
No. Oh, okay, you can borrow mine. We'll need D20s too. No, so I mean, like I said, I totally appreciate what Alessio did and his influence on it. But I do also appreciate the swing away from his design philosophy in assuming that gamers are somewhat intelligent and we can remember more than one rule at a time.
Well, especially as the community
but people
grows.
People could not remember the old Necron will be back rule. Like,
no, that's just because no one ever read it, but as someone who never played as Necrons and played against a fuckload of them, I knew that rule because I knew how to make sure none of those bitches stood up ever again.
All I knew was stands up on four, hit with power weapon.
Hit with
good.
Power weapon, good.
Ah, but then you just take the 40 point reservoir and they're good. No, but I mean, don't get me wrong. 6th edition would not exist as it is if Alessio were still there. I love the addition of Flyers, Overwatch, all of these fun little rules, even though, as we've said in the past, 6th edition is a far more finicky edition. There is a lot more bullshit that weighs the game down. I don't think tournaments have caught on to that yet.
No.
I would be interested, because, I mean, like, I was there for the end of Game 2, and I will say that a good 60%+ of the 40K tables were still playing when it was dice down time for lunch.
Yeah.
So it's just like it's huge. Yeah. And those 40% were all playing against those douchebag motherfuckers that are in their Aegis defense line standing there.
Oh my gosh.
You know, trying to table
you
in
2
turns.
I've played 3 games so far, I have not seen turn 6.
Especially when you have things like you've got your Necron Tesla Destructors, or they hit something, and you have to see if they bounce and bounce and bounce. Then you've got your Forge World stuff.
Look out,
this,
sir!
This,
look out,
this,
sir!
This.
Like,
look out, sir! Bouncing wounds.
I always bring it back to if you have a unit of Orc Boys with a knob who has a Power Claw fighting against a... Actually, you know what? Let's give him an Ooch Choppa. Fighting against a unit of Space Marines with a Power Fist. You have 4 different initiative values in that fight. So the Orcs declare a charge. You have to stop the game so the Marines can shoot at you. Then you're going to measure. You're going to roll. Okay, Orcs complete the charge. What happens? Now you have to stop the game. All the Space Marines move.
Yep.
Then they fight. Now you have to stop the game.
Oh, before
then the knob moves. Then he throws dice. Then you have to stop the game. All of the Orcs move. They throw dice. Then you have to stop the game. So it's just like, there are so many breakdowns. That
I don't even know anybody. I don't know a single person that follows the 6th Ed combat process the way
that
the rule
book says. I was playing it because I was like, I'm a Tau player. I don't know how Assault works. I just follow this step by step.
You have been playing Tau since 3rd edition.
I have never read the Assault phase rules.
No, but I mean, like, that's the thing. So it's just like, 6th edition as a whole has so many breaks to the typical flow of a 4th and a 5th edition game that everything just takes longer. I do not think that this is a bad thing.
Nope.
In fact, I think it's very positive. I love the ebb and flow of combat, especially with the way wound allocation works, where it has to be front to back.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very positive thing, and it makes movement all that more important.
But it complicates tournament play. Let's admit it. As someone who's organized events.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Complicates
it. Like, how much time do you say is too much time for a game? How much time do you say is enough time for a game?
We gave our... At the Team OP tournament, we gave everybody about 2.5 hours for games. And even then, we still had games going right to the end of the round.
Like, well, and I mean, you guys are playing 2,000 points, though. So, yeah. I mean, that's not surprising.
Even still, 2.5 hours. When I first started playing, like, 1.5 hours was a long game.
Dude, I remember when I first started playing at the Games Workshop stores, 1,000-point games, 4x4 tables,
you had
16 minutes.
Done.
Yeah.
1 hour to pull your models out, deploy them, play, and pack them up. had 60 minutes.
That's also because the store was packed back to front.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. It was like there were 30 people but packed into a broom closet.
I think
you,
when a lot
you
of
didn't finish your games then, though.
Oh, yeah.
You finished that thing. Like, you finished your dinner.
I think what a lot of this breaks down to is that you've got 6th edition with a lot more rule set than we're used to, and we're still trying to get used to them in the tournament scene. And you throw in Forge World, and this just kind of amplifies all the problems because you've got new rules, new units, new finicky little things just to throw into.
The meta hasn't shifted.
All right,
no, not yet.
Appropriately to accommodate all of this newness.
Well, and that's exactly it. I mean, it took about 3 years for the 5th edition meta to really just settle and just be like, this is how the game exists.
Yeah.
A new book might alter this. It might give you new things to think about, but this is 5th edition in a nutshell. It took about 3 years. We are still in that growing pain period for 6th edition, so I think adding in additional newness is only going to exacerbate the problem.
Oh.
It is not going to make it easier to come to. But with that, let's just try to wrap it up. I'm going to say, well, we'll get there in a second. it's on my mind. I'm not forgetting about it. I'm not too drunk to forget about it. Steve.
Yes.
Playing against Forge World models in tournaments. Is it fun?
I haven't had a lot of experience with it, and it really depends. Mm-hmm. Some people do it for theme. When they do it for theme, I am perfectly okay with it. When they do it to be just absolutely power gaming, to really optimize the list, like for example the Imperial Guard line with the gunships, with the flak batteries, all that kind of stuff, it's not really fun to play against. You're not making a themed list. You're just trying to.
I lied with my orcs because I just need to make.
Oh yeah,
fires
of course, yes. You're not trying to make like a fun themed list to play against your opponent. You're just trying to brutalize them. You're trying to be a bully.
Yeah.
Like, just to win games, to win tournaments.
All right,
and in the end, you just win best general. You don't really win anything.
All right, so let's boil it down. Let's boil it down. This is going to be the weekly listener poll for this week. Would you go out of your way to attend a tournament just because they allowed Forge World? So, Steve, would you? Would you go out of your way to attend it because of the Forge World?
If I had an all Forge World army... For example, Death Corps of Krieg, because I think they are completely badass.
Oh.
I would do it. If I had my army and then just some Forge World stuff sitting around, not a chance, because I know the kind of lists that are going to come out there. But just for that opportunity to use my all Forge World army, I would do it.
Okay. Terry, would you go out of your way to attend an army that allowed Forge World? Or a tournament?
A tournament.
Gentlemen.
I would... No, I don't go out of my way to attend tournaments that don't have a track record of fun. I mean, and I think that's ultimately why I'm attending. Like, this was my glorious return back into 40K, was out of the basement 2013. Was because I wanted a tournament that was fun. And I look at the lists, and if I was just looking at the lists that are present, I wouldn't think it would be fun. Thankfully, the community and the people make it so that it is fun. Thankfully.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like, it's not something that I would absolutely go out of my way for. I mean, again, we already talked about how I am not the beneficiary of those lists.
So, no, but you can totally just go on their website right now, pick up some... What is it, like XV9s and some Tetras, and I don't even know any of their rules to know if they're even good or not.
The people are great. And
they're always great.
The list, not so much. So if you were to go to a tournament where you would
nice people,
these lists,
shame about the face.
Exactly.
No, but so, the same as like even Art Boys was like that,
yeah,
right?
So if you were to go to a tournament that supported these kind of lists, but you didn't know the people, that's more the question.
It would not, like, I would not go out of my way. I would not buy a hotel room. Like, it's not something that, I don't know, I want to get people into the hobby, and the way you get people into the hobby and into, like, doing things like events and tournaments with strangers is to make this thing accessible and fun for them. And having optimized lists and making them eat that shit sandwich is not the way you're going to grow this hobby. I think the problem is that we look so... As we build our lists, we're a little bit selfish. We want to win. We want to get the invite. We want to get the ranking. We want to get the trophy. We want what is good for us. But ultimately, when it comes to community and getting others involved in it, like,
so what you're saying is we should just have, like, a players union and a collective bargaining agreement. Is that where we're going?
I think you've got to set the tone, right?
No, I mean, but what you're talking about, again, it's something that we have talked about on the show before, and that is kind of that whole social contract issue, where it's just like, we all know that you can be filthy as all fuck. In this game, if you have the wallet to bankroll it, you can power game the ever living fuck out of this game, because this is not a tournament game. Mm-hmm. The game devs have even said, do not play tournaments with our games, because we never even considered tournament play with it.
Okay? Oh yeah,
we're just a bunch of fucking idiots and rejects where we're just like, oh, so the game devs say don't do tournaments. Well, I'll show them.
Idiots and retarks and Jeremy Vitalk.
Yeah, I know you're still all over him. You know,
you're all look at her swoon.
She's drunk. She'll swoon on anyone. So I mean that is the question that we have. Our weekly listener poll for this week. Please go to jadedgamercast.com, cast your vote. And the question again is: would you go out of your way to attend a tournament that allowed Forge World? Because again, for me, I know we've heard from Steven, and we've heard from Terry. For me, I think it is the kiss of death for me. I do not think that 6th edition is established enough. We are not at the point where we are so bored that we're looking for ways to spice it up. And I think a year ago, we were there with 5th edition. 6th edition was a huge breath of fresh air. I know a ton of gamers. And 5th edition was a very short edition. I think it's the shortest 40K edition Games Workshop has ever had. But I know a lot of gamers that just took a break because they're just like, you know what? It's not fun. Every single game is the fucking same because every list I play is this. This is my list. I'm not going to play anymore because I'm tired. And that's great. But I mean, we're still trying to figure out what fucking works. We're still trying to figure out the golden ratio of flyers to this, to that. Because again, we're not even at the point where we have half the codexes updated. What do we have for 6th edition? We have Chaos Space Marines, Dark Angels. You're at 4. Eldar and Tau. So we have 4 codexes out of 13. Or actually, I think it's like 15 with all the Marine variants they keep adding in. So it's just like
at the release schedule, they'll be done in a year and a half.
Come January, we should have every book, and then we can start being bored.
If that. And with Forge World, you're essentially throwing in another 6 army books, just tossing them into the works, essentially, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, they really started doing the 40K approved with, what, Imperial Armor 11, was it?
10 or 11, they 10 started or 11 just throwing, like, so again, this entire list is approved, you can take it with whoever you want.
Yeah, you know, so again, like, it is one of those things where I personally will not attend a tournament that allows it. And that is exclusively from walking around and looking at the lists that people took, because it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, I give an inch, they took a mile. Mm-hmm. So it's just like the organizers are
still learning how to balance.
Absolutely. Oh, very much.
But
very
the tournament organizers for Out of the Basement allowed this on good faith. Because again, it's never been this bad before. Because it's always been fifth edition with Forge World was a breath of fresh air. Because you're just like, holy fuck, you're playing Tau, but you have these things that I don't know what they do. And all of a sudden, it's new and it's refreshing. And it's not the same old, okay, Tau is, you know, step 1, step 2, step 3, you know, step 4, no one knows, step 5, profit.
And it was theme, not douche. Yeah.
And that's exactly it. So, I mean, I think that this... this just showed that given the opportunity to go full retard, people will take it. You know,
they always
go full retard.
Speaking of full retard,
Look, something shiny, Pacific Rim. Steve, are you going to go see it?
I actually saw it.
Did you see
I
it?
I did.
No spoilers, because we haven't.
No spoilers, but if you want a loud, angry, robot-smashing monsters movie, you'll love it. It's like Evangelion Gundam all mushed up into one movie, and it's loud, it's big, it's fantastic. Expect absolutely zero story or substance from it.
Oh, wow. Not even like
a weird romance? So it's a Michael Bay film.
It's a Guillermo del Toro film, so
yeah. The only difference Minor. Is that it's like if Michael Bay and Tim Burton had a baby.
Same level of destruction, less explosions.
Very well.
But yeah, something shiny. I mean, I think I'm the only geek on the planet that is not a little bit excited for Pacific Rim because when I looked at the trailers, I was just like. So it's a storyless, plotless Michael Bay destruction film. Filmed by Guillermo del Toro. I'm too drunk to say your name.
It did.
Maybe you should anglicize your name, motherfucker. This is America.
It did have a half-decent story. The characters are pretty good. The acting was good. But it's
the acting
loud.
Was pretty good.
It was decent. It was decent.
What is it with loud movies?
I don't know.
I have actually read... A couple friends other than you from my Facebook feed have both commented that the movie itself was painfully loud. Where they're in the IMAX and they're just like,
yes.
It was so loud it fucking hurt. And it's just like, I could not enjoy it. It was worse than being front row at a rock concert.
Oh, no. It didn't hurt per se. We saw it in AVX where we know the audio is actually stronger than IMAX if you've ever seen a movie in both.
Yeah.
I could feel my seat shaking, but in a good way. It didn't like hurt my ears or anything. But you could feel the impacts. You could feel the explosions. It was awesome.
I don't know.
In a very guilty pleasure.
Oh, I know the wife is totally jonesing for it, so I'm going to see it. Honestly, I am hoping that I will be pleasantly surprised. Like I said, I looked at the trailers, and I was like, it looks hokey. It looks like everything that I will not like in a movie. And that's why I'm just
there
like...
there isn't some weird romance. That's
no, there isn't.
Oh, thank God. Yes. Okay, listen. Look, the moment they were just like, and two pilots have to pilot, and they meld brains. No. And I was like, one of the pilots is going to die, the other one's going to marry his girlfriend. It's going to be Pearl Harbor with giant robots. There's bam!
I'll save you that pain. It looks like it might start to go towards the romance route, but
edit that shit out, hey.
It stops at, like, friends. That's it. It's so hard.
Block,
you get friend zone.
Oh,
you have all the memories of the guy that's banging you. That's cruel.
No,
you know what you know she's a freak. And that's the worst part is, you meld minds. You're just like, damn, I know that girl digs anal.
How can you, as a guy, not be into a film where the guys drive? What are they called? Jaegers?
Jaegers, yeah. Hunters.
Which means that they are Jaegermeisters.
come on. That's just...
I totally just caught on to that, by the way. I saw the movie 2 days ago, and I just caught on to that.
That's awesome. No, but like I said, I don't know. Like I said, it just... For me, it looks too much Transformers 2, and, like, from the trailers. No, I'm not saying that that is. So, like I said, I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised. I'm hoping to walk
Better
out of
Man
it and
of
just
Steel?
Be like...
they're really different. Man of Steel is a really serious movie. This was serious, but really way over the top. Basically, if you want to go see some of the more recent trailers, like the TV Spot 4 and those kind of era, like right when this movie is about to come out, those give you a better idea of the movie.
Okay.
It's a lot more along the lines of like Evangelion, but minus the kids.
Minus the okay, well.
Yeah, I never watch anime, so I'm just like I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, someone out there has, I'm sure.
All right. So we'll probably see Pacific Rim eventually. But that has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Nathan.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Steve.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, you need to have a sign. Come on, you're fucking this up, Steve.
Aww.
What's your sign on?
Ah!
All right, he's a North player. Good enough. All right. Cheers.